high drop for Jackie Elka.
Goal! Oh, what a goal! What a goal! Yes! Unbelievable finish to the Merseyside derby!
Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton, and welcome to another podcast where we've got a lot to get through. We're going to be looking back on our disappointing results. 2-0 defeat to Chelsea in the extra time segment. That's going to be hosted by Thomas Robertson and Paul McAllister. Then it'll be myself along with Steve Hornby and Tom Long. We're going to be doing the match preview for Everton versus Burnley, which is coming up at the weekend. And then we'll be finishing off by having the classic quiz where Steve will be up against Tom. Tom will be making his debut in the Toffee Blues quiz. So loads to look forward to. We'll get straight into it and we'll hand you over to Thomas for the extra time.
My name's Thomas, joined today by Paul McAllister. We're going to be giving our extra time reaction to our away loss to Chelsea last night. The match finished 2-0. It wasn't the most high quality of games. Of course, we knew we were going to have to sit off a lot. We were missing a couple of key players with Abdoulaye Doucouré missing, James Rodriguez, the likes of that. We knew it was going to be a struggle. Paul, I'll let you start. What were your initial reactions to the game?
Watching it, I don't think there was an awful lot to criticise. I mean, I wasn't very annoyed as I was watching it live. It was more just like, oh, why has it got to go like that? Do you know what I mean? It was more like just a, not even a disappointment, more just a bit frustrating because I thought we did an awful lot right. I think Carlo got the tactics spot on. I thought the players that we had available executed the game plan as best as they possibly could. And the goals that we conceded, one was just a very unlucky deflection and the other one was a penalty that, yeah, Pickford was at fault for giving away, but he more than redeems himself by making four or five world-class saves after the penalty. So, frustrating, but that was one of the two games between now and the end of the season that I essentially wrote off beforehand. Chelsea away and Man City away, because Man City are Man City. They're going to win the league by an absolute country mile. And Chelsea away because we've got such a bad record there and we had injury problems and they're the best form that they've been in for absolutely as long as I can remember, essentially. So, yeah, disappointed and frustrated, but not angry and not critical of anybody, really, other than maybe one player who I'll come to in a minute.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, Tuchel's got them, you know, in really fine form. And I was slightly more frustrated the first half than the second half because we knew we were going to have less of the ball, but even when we won it back in the first half, I felt we could have used it better at times. We grew into the game a bit more. There was that chance towards the end of the first half, which a cross came in. I think Demier's delivery could have been a bit better at times. We kind of rely on that if we're going to play the way that we are. And I think there were moments where we definitely could have improved on the ball, but the high press that the Tuchel's got them playing, we clearly just couldn't really handle it in the first half. Defensively, we could handle it, don't get me wrong, but as soon as we had the ball, it was going straight up and it was coming back again. But their two goals, slightly lucky. I mean, Havertz's goal, I don't even think it was going off on target because I think it's been given to Godfrey as an own goal in the end. Nothing Godfrey can even do about that. However, I presume the player that you're about to mention, obviously, Mason Holgate looked slightly out of position for that one. He kind of allowed Alonso in between Iwobi. He kind of wandered up the pitch a bit. There's a lot of debate about whether it was Iwobi's fault or Holgate's fault, but what did you make of the first goal?
Holgate was at fault. I mean, he wasn't the player I was referring to a minute ago, but I think he takes the blame for that one. He was pulled too far in field. He looked like he was sitting in a number six position when he was meant to be out wide covering a fullback. But again, we've got injuries, haven't we? He's not a fullback naturally. It's not what he's going to be playing long term, hopefully. So it's sort of easy to forgive because it's needs must, isn't it? We all know Holgate himself doesn't want to be playing at right back. He's just doing the job as best he can. And unfortunately, one mistake, I think, over the course of 90 against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. I don't think there's too much you can really pile on about. But yeah, the first goal was disappointing. But I think if that goal, that doesn't deflect off Godfrey and go in the back of the net, I don't think anyone even highlights what Holgate did afterwards. I think the only reason it's stuck in people's minds is because it resulted in a goal in the end.
Who was the player you were going to mention then?
Iwobi. I thought Iwobi was desperately poor. I mean, I think he showed one or two good touches in the latter stage of the first half. I think he brought the ball down really well in Chelsea's box when I think it might have been Gomez who took the shot in the end. Probably had our first shot on target in the game. I thought Iwobi did really well to create the space and lay it off to him. But I thought overall he was really, really poor and it's just a story with Iwobi, isn't it? I think there's a talented player there, but he just does not play well anywhere near enough that is for us to justify his place really in the team. I think a player of his natural ability, which I think he's absolutely got, a player of his talent should be performing better, whether he's on the wing or whether he's somewhere else in the team, a lot more than he does. I just don't think Iwobi is cut out for Everton. I really don't. And I can see us parting company in the summer, maybe.
Yeah, I really don't think he was brilliant last night. And yeah, he's had flashes of he's had flashes of brilliance this season, and that's made people think, has he improved as a player? I think yes, he's improved, but he's not shown it consistently enough for me. And he really just didn't get involved in the game yesterday. And surely in that position, I would personally prefer to see someone like Josh King, who could come in. Obviously, we signed him in January. Hasn't really got his foot in the door yet, been making a couple of appearances. But thing is with Alex Iwobi as well, and I'll just read this out, put this on a story last night. Always an honour to get a call-up from our national team. Hopefully, I get to play in my preferred position. It's an interesting thing. I mean, if we take that on face value, it's an interesting thing to take a swipe at Carlo Ancelotti for that. What did you make of that post?
He's not helping himself when he posts things like that. I know our fan base can be very easy to fly off the handle and read too much into things, but Iwobi, mate, you can't be posting things like that, because surely you know that coming off a defeat like you did last night and a poor performance like you did last night, you post something like that, fans are going to get on your back over it. Do you know what I mean? You've got to be cleverer than that, Alex, mate. But if Carlo Ancelotti ever tells you to play in goal, he should do it, quite frankly. He's not a number 10 in this Everton team, because he's never played there in the 2.5 years he's been here. He can't surely think he's going to be playing number 10 any time in the future for Everton. So I don't know what he was hoping to achieve by posting that. I really don't, to be honest. I just think it was a young player who's a bit brainless, putting something out there thinking that it's harmless, when in reality he's actually giving fans a bit more of an insight than he probably meant to. So, nothing personal against Iwobi. I don't dislike him anywhere near as much as I dislike certain other players in the team. And I do understand why Ancelotti wants to keep using him, because clearly he can see the talent there and he wants to try and nurture it. But I think playing him last night on the wing, a player like Iwobi who just wants so many touches on the ball and doesn't particularly dribble very fast and doesn't carry the ball upfield and link up with players at rapid speed like the likes of Richarlison can. I just think it was a bit of a bad selection. We had other players in the team who didn't suit playing against Chelsea's high press, but needs must. We've got injuries in the midfield area. I think we could have, as you said, played someone else out wide and we'd have got much more out of them last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Quite a poor performance from him. We've spoken about Holgate there being out of position, and it will be. But we mentioned Pickford at the start as well, who's on absolutely brilliant run of form. Of course, he did give away that penalty. The debate whether he should have come out for it or not, I mean, you know, who really knows? But it's that... He's pulling off these brilliant saves time and time again, and obviously it could have been worse last night if he wasn't in the positions he was in. So what have you made of him, well, last night and, you know, more recently in general?
It just comes back to this one word that everyone uses to describe Jordan Pickford, and it's absolutely spot on. It's erratic. That's the word to describe him with. He's either all the way up here in terms of his performances, or he's all the way down here. He can't just find a happy medium. He can't find consistent 7 out of 10s. It's either an 8 or a 9 or a 10 out of 10, or it's a 1 or a 2 or a 3 at best. It's everyone wants to give this lad the benefit of the doubt so much, because we can see how good he can be when he's playing well and he has a game like that. And we've seen them for England a few times and here and there over the last couple of seasons. Jordan Pickford is a talented goalkeeper, and he's proven it enough now to basically dispel this idea that he's absolutely useless and no one would ever want him, take him off us. I really think if we decided we didn't want Jordan Pickford, we could move him on somewhere and get some money. But if he wants to be the Everton number one long term, he's got to find some level of consistency. And there's no good being great for one game and then going back to being terrible again the next week, is there? So I just really want Jordan Pickford to just knuckle down and just start playing, not even fantastically well, just start playing decently for a long stretch of time. There's no point, as I said a minute ago, on a couple of good games here and there and then going bad again. Just have a nice long six to 12 months where there's no reason for anyone to get on your back. That's all you've got to do, and I think it's well within his capability, and hopefully he proves me right.
Yeah, like I'm more than happy for him to be on the run that he's on, but I agree, I'd rather have, you know, every game at a decent level than some games at a brilliant level and some games not. But Ancelotti clearly likes him a lot as well, because, you know, when Olsen's come in, or, you know, when Pickford was injured, you know, he came straight back into the team, despite Olsen, you know, playing very well in those games that he had to deputise. So it's clear that Ancelotti likes him a lot, and you can see why he's a very talented goalkeeper. And I think the club are probably just going to hang on to them for the next few years. There was a lot of debate around, are we just going to need to invest in a more solid number one? I think that debate is going to have to be pushed towards the end of the season again now, because he has these moments again. And we toss and turn a lot, whether it's, you know, are we just saying this because he's performing really well now, but, you know, he has these moments. But I think it'll just get to a point where we have to accept he has these moments, because when he is brilliant like this, you know, he is a really good player. And so something I think is really important to focus on from last night as well is squad depth. We knew going into the game, for the past couple of matches, our benches have kind of been made up of academy players, with, you know, Josh King and Bernard maybe on there. And quote from Ancelotti after the game that the game that we planned was what we got for 30 minutes, but we have to be honest, we are not the same level. We cannot play an open game against this kind of team. We'll be there until the last game, no tragedy. And that's very true. And it's Ancelotti admitting that if we have our full, you know, our best 11, we could compete with Chelsea. But with injuries, that's where we completely lose out. And in this season where every single team is getting a lot of injuries, you know, there's no one safe from this pretty much. It's teams like ourselves that are really struggling. So it was like last night when Kante came on with about 10 minutes to go. It really is quite a difficult ask for us. And Pulisic was coming off the bench as well. It's, you know, frightening the depth that those clubs have. And that's the reality we have to face. And I'm glad there wasn't too much meltdown last night, because I think it's something we kind of all expected when we have that kind of weak side. It'd be brilliant if we could get a result. Of course, that would help us a lot. But and I'm sure you agree with me here, it's by no means the end of the season from that result, which only a few people mentioned it, but it's absolutely not.
No, I agree with you. There's still a lot to play for, and there's still a lot more to be positive about than be negative about with the 17 team. We are still very early into a project, and we couldn't realistically expect to be further along than we are at this stage. In Ancelotti's first full season, we've gone from being essentially a bottom half side, like we were under Marco Silva. We finished safe under Marco Silva in his first season, and probably had no right finishing there. And we looked like we were going to be finishing near the relegation places before we sacked him. We were a bottom half side before Carlo Ancelotti came in, and he's dragged us all the way up into the top eight, at least. I don't think we're going to finish outside the top eight now, but probably not even the top seven. Top four, I think last night proved that it's just too far beyond us in this the first season. We'd love it if we got it. You can always hope. It's not mathematically impossible just yet. Maybe luck will go our way, and Chelsea will lose some games, and West Ham will fall away. But I don't think we're going to overhaul Chelsea. I think last night just proved that they're too far ahead of us. Like as Carlo said, they've got too many great players, squad in depth. We're not far along enough yet in our project. I still think we can finish above West Ham, and that should be the goal now. Finishing above the likes of West Ham and the likes of Tottenham and the likes of Liverpool. We can finish above all of them, even with the squad depth we've got. I really think we can get fifth. And if we can get fifth place, and fingers crossed, that cup in the FA Cup, then that would be a brilliant season. But even just fifth place in Ancelotti's first season, European football, that would be an absolute pass grade. That would be a solid B+, A-. You can't ask for more than that, really. So I'm more than happy to just aim on or just concentrate on getting fifth place between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I mean, yeah, top four would be great. I mean, Leicester might drop away. They have patchy form like we do. Just looking at the table now, Leicester on 53, Chelsea in fourth on 50. West Ham obviously climbed above us last night after beating Leeds. They've got 48, but have a game in hand on Chelsea. And we've got 46 with a game in hand on Chelsea. So mathematically, as he said, absolutely possible. But I think that squad depth we will really begin to show in these last 10 or 11 games for most. So, yeah, top five, I think fifth has to be the priority now. And it's, you know, it's absolutely achievable. So that's pretty much all we've got time for in this video today. But kind of just in summary, Paul, what have you got to say about last night?
Disappointing, but not surprising, and I think everybody should still be behind what we're doing and not be too much into it. It's a shame that we're going to be missing Toure. You just think, what could we have done this season if we had everyone in the squad fit for a prolonged period? But it always seems when one goes down, we lose someone else. So, yeah, Chelsea, they're the team I think could be dark horse for the Champions League now, because they've got an absolutely unbelievable squad of players with a manager who actually knows what he's doing. So it was always going to be a hard ask to beat them last night, and it was going to be a hard ask to finish above them at this early into Carlo's tenure. So, yeah, disappointing, but let's just move on and focus on the next game against Burnley and the cup game after that.
And welcome to the match preview segment, Everton versus Burnley coming up at the weekend. I'm joined by Steve Hornby, and a very warm welcome for the first time on the Toffee Blues to Tom Long. Welcome to the show, mate. How are you doing?
Yes, Sammy. Yeah, could have been better after Chelsea, but you know, what can you do? So, yeah, thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're more than welcome, mate. I bet you wish you'd made your debut 2 weeks ago, right after the derby or something, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, that wasn't a bad one, was it?
Sometimes you just got to take them as they come, haven't you? You know, we've had 3 wins on the spin and then this has happened. It's not great, but
you know, can't win every game.
Unless we certainly can't anyway. We're not Man City. I think they're drawing at the moment, but anyway, we're going to be looking ahead to the Everton versus Burnley fixture. I'll start with you on this one. Tom, how do you feel going into this off the back of what we witnessed on Monday night and in the games beforehand that we did win? How do you feel going into this?
Yeah, I mean, I think fans have just got to like sort of scratch that Chelsea game off, really. I mean, we went into it, didn't really expect anything from it, from my point of view anyway. I didn't necessarily think we got played off the park and what people thought we did. I didn't really think necessarily. I thought we sort of made our own issues, really. I mean, few individual errors, really. But, yeah, I mean, Burnley are a good side. I mean, I think they've only been beat in the last 6 games once. So, I think in terms of that, I think they're a tough side. I mean, we've seen it every season, what they can do. They just sit back, low block, and then hopefully get the two big lads up front, don't they? So, yeah, I mean, listen, if the core was in, then I'd be very, very confident. But we see when we see what the type of team sort of lacks when he's not in the side. So,
yeah,
I'm hopeful.
No, I'm very much on the same page as you there, Tom. I said after the Chelsea game that I wasn't gutted because we lost to Chelsea. I'm more worried about how we'll fare moving forward without Decore. I think that's as big a loss as we've had all season. I think that's like, I know Alan, we've had out for a couple of spells and we've had obviously James out for a while, but I think Decore, he's a crucial player for this team. I think he's a player we can ill afford to like have out for a long period.
Yeah, I think, see, what it is, it's not necessarily what he like does on the ball, it's necessarily what he does off it. It's his positional play, it's his work rate. He sort of gets other people out of bad situations there. You know, you look at Davies and you look at Alan, they're not necessarily like in terms of covering the ground very well, are they? So I think that's what he brings. And when you do look at the side, I think he's the only player necessarily in the team that can do that specific role.
Yeah, I think we've heard the term like water carrier. He's definitely our water carrier, and I don't think anyone can replicate that role. As I think we've got Tom Davies has got the aggression and, you know, the drive to get forward, but he hasn't got the physicality of the core. Alan is too short, probably not as quick either. So, you know, he's down a little bit in that element. And also, of course, Andre Gomez has the physicality, but doesn't seem to have the mental side of it. And, you know, Sigurdsson isn't a defensive midfielder, so he should never be playing there, whatever way you look at it. So, you know, we are kind of short in personnel. We haven't really got an out-and-out replacement for Decore, and that's my concern.
No, yeah, I think, like, when I do look at it, I think in terms of what we've tried Gomez in that position, we've tried others in that position. I mean, I was speaking before with a few of my mates, and I was suggesting, like, in terms of looking at Burnley and the way they set up and that, I couldn't really see them overrunning us in the midfield. So why not try Onyango in there? I mean, he's been on the bench. He's
had the odd brief appearance, hasn't he, off the bench?
Well, yeah, he's been saying that. But when I've watched him in the under-23s, he seems like he's in second gear. For sure, it's just the way I see it. I mean, he's totally above that level. So I see him in terms of when... Listen, a lot of people start to say he's not ready and all that, but we've seen it with other young lads. We never necessarily thought Davies was ready or Kenny to a certain point was ready. You know what I mean? You've got to give these lads some chances. And when you're sort of flogging a dead horse in the sense of putting Gomez or anyone else for that matter in that position, I mean, why not, Si?
I mean, you're saying about, you know, Davis and Kenny being ready and whatnot, but you look at the build of Davis and Kenny, Onyango seems physically a lot more developed than they were at that age.
Oh, no, 100%. He's 6'3".
We're talking more of a Calvert-Lewin style of physique, which I think you need to have an element of that to your game if you're going to make it in the Premier League nowadays. It's such a physically intense league.
Well, when you're 17, 18... Them lads seem to sort of come to the forefront when they step up to Premier. In terms of, you look at it like Dal, you've looked at it, Ryan Ledson as well. They just haven't been physically ready. Now you look at him and he's totally physically ready for the Premier League, in my opinion. So I think he's the only one there that I look at and think he could certainly bring what Decore brings. Not in terms of like that level, but it won't be
that experience, obviously.
But it's not going to be a massive drop off in terms of intensity and in terms of how we press teams and things like that when you've got Sigurdsson or Gomez playing that role.
Yeah, and neither of them. Sigurdsson should never be in a deep role. Gomez likes to play deep, but he hasn't got the physicality to be box to box.
I don't really want to slander Gomez, but he's not really having the best of seasons, in my opinion. I mean, he's just very easily playable against. I mean, you can see things like that and people can suggest, like, oh, it was interception. It's all well and good. But you go look at it, how many times he gets dribbled or passed,
I remember there was the damning statistic, wasn't there, where I think it was Decore, Kapuwe and Will Hughes for Watford last season, and between them, he's all been dribbled past as a group, less than Gomez. And I think that was a Watford team that got relegated. And that says a lot about Andre Gomez and his poor defensive attributes anyway.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're not an attacking side. Like, you need players who are going to come in and be very well, sort of, very well in terms of fitting into a system and very well defensively. So I don't necessarily get it with Gomez myself. I mean, he must be outstanding, the same as him, and training him with Sigurdsson, he must be absolutely brilliant. You know what I mean?
On that note, Tom, actually, there's like a live training session or something being streamed on YouTube as well, or... You know,
I did watch it.
Oh, you've seen some of it. So it'll help myself, people answer a few questions about what people do in training or whatever. But Stephen, I'll come to you, mate. I'm just gonna, what would you do with the midfield in the absence of Decore? What personnel would you go with for the midfield for the Burnley game?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it, really, James? Just like missing Abdoulaye Decore is massive, isn't it? I'd argue he's been our player of the season. I want to welcome Tom to the channel as well. It's nice to see some new faces every now and then. So
definitely.
It's such a hard question. When watching Gomez against Chelsea, the guy's just, I think he's one of the slowest players I've seen play for Everton, which is, it's really sad to see, because in the loan spell he was fantastic, and it seems like the injury's really done him. Missing Decore, obviously I'd like to see Davis come in. He's had a bit of a rest and he was in some good form before. He had a bit of a spell out the team recently, hasn't he, with Hammers. But, I'd like to see Davis come into the team. Maybe Carlo's planning on playing a bit. You know, he does like to overload the midfield. But as you said, I'm not sure Burnley are going to outplay us in midfield. So maybe we could get away with two in there instead of three. We do like playing quite a few centre midfielders this season. The Sigurdsson, Gomez, Davis, Alan. There's a lot of them. So I would like to see us maybe change the shape a little bit. Maybe go with just two. Maybe start Sigurdsson. Maybe start Davis as well. But I think Alan has to stay in the team as well. So I think there is definitely options there. I would start Alan. I would start Davis as well. And missing Decore is a big one. But I've got faith that we can play around it, but yeah, obviously you can't underestimate how big a miss it is, really, James.
No, I'm definitely of that belief myself. I think Decore is a massive blow to lose him. We've got to hope he's back as quickly as possible. Hopefully, maybe after the international break, it may well be the case, but we'll have to wait and see. In terms of the rest of the team, Steve, who would you go with in terms of personnel? Would you keep the two up top? Would you maybe tweak the formation for this one? You know,
I'd definitely keep the two up front because I think Calvert-Lewin's due a good game, and I think he may well get it here against Burnley. I think Richarlison's got the beating of some of the players in that Burnley team, so I would like to see those two stay up top. Maybe drop Mason Holgate out the side, or maybe go to maybe change the formation a little bit and play Coleman in the role that Iwobi had the other night at Chelsea. But I don't know if we're saving that for away games. But after Seamus Coleman's performance in the derby, I think maybe, on the live streams that we've been doing, I was firmly in the Coleman's finish camp. But after that performance against Liverpool, I think there is a more attacking role for him in the team, as long as he doesn't have to do too much tracking back or something like that. So I'd like to see him stay in the team. Michael Keane's been brilliant as well against his former club. Love to see him get a chance. Jordan Pickford as well. Had a really good run of games as well. So Pickford, I would definitely obviously keep him in the team. Keane, Godfrey has to stay in the team for me. If we're going to keep those two as the fullbacks, with Lucas Digne on the left. I don't really think we need to be too defensive, so I'm going to just throw Seamus Coleman on as my right back for the game. I think, you know, it's not the sort of game where we're going to have to sit back and hit them on the counter attack, because we know how well set up Burnley are, and they'll look to grab a goal and they'll look to, you know, defend really well, stay sharp and stay in their shape. So we definitely need players who can get past that. And I think definitely having Coleman in there would be better for the likes of Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin over someone like the Wolves.
Holgate's seen this season. He's not cut out to provide right service back from the flanks.
Yeah, he's not a right back, mate. I'd like to see Allen and Davis, maybe one of them deep, because I think two centre defensive mids at home is a bit unneeded. When it comes to Gomez, I would drop him out the team. I don't agree with putting on Yango straight in there, because I think Evertonians have got a knack of these young players coming into the team and we immediately judging them. So I'd like to see him maybe get a few more sub appearances and maybe go out on loan before he's really comes into the side. But then again, Carlo does like to favour youth at times. You know, we've seen it on the bench a lot this season. But I'd like Davis in there, Allen in there. I'm not sure on the fitness of James. I'm not sure if he's going to be back or not.
I was watching briefly the training video. I didn't notice him.
Yeah, Tom. I had a brief watch of it, only a very little one, and
yeah, couldn't see him.
No, neither could I, mate. And maybe it's time for Sigurdsson to come into that role in the number 10 again. You know, we know that he struggled to play in the same team together, don't we, Sigurdsson and Rodriguez? But I think, you know, at times he does have the capability to just put a good ball on a plate for one of the strikers. So I'd like to see him in the team. And I'm not sure if we're going to go with wingers or we're just going to keep it narrow in this game. But I wouldn't make too many changes from Chelsea, because as Tom said, I don't think we played that bad. I think we were just playing a really good team.
Yeah, they're a very good team, very good side.
Yeah, and our squad depth was obviously very... Was obvious in that game that for where we need to improve in the summer. You know, they could bring on players like Pulisic and stuff like that, and we just don't have that capability. We only had really Josh King and Bernardo with our two substitute options. But you know, I wouldn't change it too much, because I think Carl's got the definitely, we're definitely capable of getting 3 points here. James 100%. I think it just comes down to the home form again with us playing these teams, and you know. And Southampton was a promising one as well, because playing these teams at home and believing that it's not a given that we're going to get the 3 points, we need to go out and we need to play our best football, because no easy games in this league. And the most important thing is to play your best football, because there's no games in the league this season where you go, that's 3 points, that's a banker. There isn't. Simple as.
No, I think especially the ambiguity that's been brought into it by the lack of fans is definitely... Major, nothing's set in stone, and you're never necessarily 100% confident, and you shouldn't be, I don't think, in this league. You know, there's no, like you say, there's no easy games. There's not going to be any, like, you know, you're not going to walk over teams comfortably, unless you're like, unless you're like Man City and you're going to, like, you've got like subs benches with entire first 11s on them. Like, you're not going to do it, but yeah. But Tom. I was going to ask, obviously, with the Burnley game, it requires a bit of a tactical reshuffle, I'd say, from Chelsea. Obviously, Chelsea are going to run us around a lot. Do you expect Burnley to do what Burnley do best and sit in? Because I know when we played them, didn't we, in December, and they pressed us a bit, which caught me off guard a little. But is that something you expect to see at Goodison?
Yeah, maybe, but Everton have got a really good record against Burnley. So I think in terms of deciding what like system, it's going to be either three, and it's going to be like a 4-4-2, a diamond shape, or then you're going to have a flat three in midfield. So I think in terms of what we need and what we're missing with Decore, maybe it's best to just go like 4-4-2 and try and match them in terms of putting... It depends as well. I've seen Mina in the team, so I think he could be potentially back. So
probably on the bench, I'd imagine.
Well, if not, if he is injured or he's ready, I'd more than happy bring him back in. I think that our best centre-half partnerships, Keenan, Mina, and I'd put Godfrey the left back, and then I'd throw Dean left mid, and then I think personally, Iwobi had a shocker against Chelsea.
Yeah, he was wretched.
It was probably one of the worst performances I've ever seen in an Everton shirt.
That's a bit. Wise. I mean, I'll be honest. I think that's a little bit outlandish.
It was absolute schoolboy that defending what he done. I think I only just about seen it on the first goal, but when he panned out, I thought he was totally out of position. I thought it was quite evident. I mean, our centre-halves and our players go press. They go press. They sort of play a man marking system from the back. So you'd assume a wall be to fit it. And he was just in no man's land. He didn't know where to be, where to do. So then the next time, you'd assume that he would learn from that. And then there was a time where Alonso just absolutely made the run on him. And he was caught.
That when Pickford made the save.
Yeah. And it could have went 2-0 straight away. So I think he's gone totally off the boil. I wouldn't necessarily play him on the wing anymore. I mean, we were talking about number 10s and that's where I'd want to see him. He sort of suits that his style of play anyway. But
the Instagram post about he wanted to, hopefully I'll get to play a preferred position. I think he was referring to Nigeria there, but obviously the same would probably go for him at Everton, that he's rather be playing in the number 10 role.
Well, no, I think he's right, to be honest with you, in that sense, because we do lack them, that sort of progressive runner with the ball in midfield, where Tsegerdsen has been in good form really over the last few games, and James Rodriguez is a certain type of player who finds space in that, but we don't necessarily have that player from midfield, apart from Decore, who can progress and then create in the final third and find space. So, yeah, I mean, that could be an option. But listen, I'd like to see what Josh King's all about. I mean, we signed him for a reason, so I think we should play him. I mean, I think he should be above Bernard in the thing. I think Iwobi's, obviously, performance from Chelsea should at least deserve a chance against Burnley. So, yeah, I'd like to see you sort of go toe-to-toe and see, like, Davies and Allen in the midfield, put King on the right, and then try what I actually want to see is Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin up front together.
Interesting. It's a set. So what sort of formation are you thinking of there, Tom?
4-4-2.
Who on the left, 4-4-2. Then?
You'd have Godfrey. Do you mean left mid?
Left mid, yeah.
Oh yeah, sorry, yeah, Dean. I'd have Dean left mid. I think you're looking at, if you're going to look at Coleman being right mid, then I'd much prefer Dean going left mid and putting King on the right wing.
Interesting. Could just completely shuffle it around and have King on the left, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, but he seems to prefer him every time he comes on. He seems to put him on the right, doesn't he? So I'm just trying to assume what Carlo Ancelotti would do, really. So. Yeah, I think our best defensive is. I know I understand the sort of going forward side of Holgate's game, but I think he's better. I think he's the best right back we've got at the club. To be honest with you, I think you're right in terms of Coleman. He's not finished in certain and other terms, but I can't see him being going 10-5 games running streak. So Holgate's tried and tested. I mean, you've just got to sort of deal with the fact that he's not going to attack. And this is why I think King would be better in front of Holgi, because then he'd just be allowed to go stay up front.
But I think what Steve's getting at there is that obviously Burnley and their nature is to sit in. You're looking for a more attack-minded right-back to get forward and maybe probe the low block better than a player like Holgate, who struggles to provide good service.
How many times this season have we gone against teams who we think that we can go and play attacking football against and get turned over? You've seen it, West Ham, Fulham, Newcastle. We've tried it. We're just not a very good attacking football team. We're more work rate and we do people in and we grind, teams to the ground with their work rate. So I'd be worried if we try and go and play them off the park, because I feel like that'd just hand them a game.
Yeah, but to be fair, I did say that I thought we should have done that against West Brom, and we made hard work of it then. So, you know, maybe it is the order of the day, probably for the rest of the season, to get just do whatever it takes to get results. Would you go with a 4-4-2 then to try and do that?
Yeah, yeah. 11-1-0 wins I'll have from now till the end of the season. That'll do me.
I won't complain. Steve, what formation would you go with personnel as well?
I'm not too sure. I think I would like to see Josh King. I agree with Tom there. But if Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin are fit, he's not going to be an option at striker. We are stuck for players, aren't we? And one of the things about Carlo Ancelotti is you can never predict his starting lineup, James, can you? There's always some sort of surprise in there. So I do agree with maybe the Dean at left mid, similar to Tom. I'd like to see just some delivery into the box, because that's been, for me, the main sticking point in the last few games is the delivery into the box from Iwobi, Holgate. It's just been awful. So maybe sticking with maybe going back to the four centre-backs, James, because, you know, those four did play pretty well. But then again, I would like to see Coleman there. I'd like to see Dean on the left wing, maybe go with two centre-mids. I'd like to see Alan and Davis play together. Maybe put Coleman on the right mid if Dean's going to play left mid. And Richarlison.
Just give them a free roam, sort of go forward and get crosses in.
Yeah, because I know Tom's saying there about attacking-wise, we haven't been very good this season. We're not very good at, you know, scoring a lot of goals. But if we're going to get a goal from anywhere against the Burnley team that's so well organised, you have to take a risk. Unless you want to finish the game 0-0, I don't think you can play, you know, the likes of Mason Holgate and leave Coleman out, or, you know, play players that aren't really going to get forward. So I do think we need the attacking prowess. Even if we're just going to get a goal and sit back, as Tom said, I'd take 11-1-0 wins. But I'm very much in the camp as Owen as well, who's often on the show with us. James is that he loves the way Burnley play. He likes to see
loves
teams
to grind
sit in
out
and
results, yeah. But I think that's the thing.
And, you know,
I think for me,
is Coleman fit? Is Coleman going to be fit for Saturday?
This is actually a very good point. Is Coleman even fit?
Yeah. It's not a, well, you know, he hasn't, I don't think he's played since the derby, has he?
Yeah, he got announced as injured at the same time as Hammers. Hammers is still out, of course.
Ah, right.
Ancelotti's very good at that. Very good at saying, yeah, I mean, Gbaban's been coming back since November. You know what I mean? So he's very good at sort of keeping his cards close to his chest in that situation. So it's not. Again, the training thing, I didn't even see Coleman. I can't even remember seeing him. So unless he is fit, then, yeah, I mean, would you put him straight back in? I don't know. It's a tough one because, like you say, Steve's right. I mean, who have we really got? I mean,
we're
a bit thin, aren't we? When you break down the squad and what you've got available.
That's the problem, Tom. It's who's actually fit and who's actually going to play, because there's never really been, okay, this is going to be our 11 this season. So you struggle to get used to what players are going to be playing in what positions and who's going to be playing where. So it's hard to say this is going to be my right midfielder and this is going to be my left midfielder, because, I don't know, anyone can play in any position this season. It's weird. And it was, you know, we've seen it with the Diamonds and you know, having those three centre mids in a Diamond and at like a 4-4-2. But you know, I just don't, I think we need more width in this game. I think there's a chance for us to get the ball in the box and get Calvert-Lewin ahead of it, or have a chance for to Richarlison on the edge of the box or something. I think that's where our goal is going to come from, unless it's a free kick or a penalty or something like that.
Yeah, I think the important thing to remember is obviously like Burnley can often play for nil-nils in what their ambitions are for the season, whereas we can play low block, but we need to be doing it at a goal to the good. We need to get the goal first and then defend it.
I do think we are a really good team when it comes to defending. I think we're good at sitting in and we're good at defending a lead. And often when we go 1-0 up, we don't get beat. So
yeah, I feel confident that we'll win the game. But yeah, we need to get that first goal. We need to go up to the goal.
You're that confident. I mean, this season, I think it's just like, you would not be surprised if we draw 0-0. You just wouldn't be surprised in it, the way this season's going. You just wouldn't. Yeah. But like, just to pick on what Steve's saying about width and that, maybe in terms of when you think about it, where you want Coleman and Dean in it, maybe they sort of, as I say, not play three at the back, but sort of drop Davies in that little hole and let him sit a bit to sort it out. And then you've got Coleman and Dean pushing on where you can afford to. Do you know what I mean? Especially, and then I would then just put Mino on the bench and have Keane and Godfrey back, because we know we can play a bit of a higher line with him, Godfrey. We seen it with like the situation where Pickford come out. I thought it was a bit of a mistake from Pickford, but only because Godfrey was running with him, and I thought he was going to get back anyway. So, yeah, I think in terms like that, maybe like that, and play like the diamonds. I think the ten could be key between the lines against Burnley.
I agree with you, because they're that organised that there's got to be some sort of chances, hasn't there? But we know how Burnley are going to play. I think that does benefit us in a way, because we know what we expect something from Burnley. Everyone does, and you know, as James said, the sort of pressed us a little bit at Turf Moor earlier in the season, and we struggled a little bit in that game. We struggled a little bit in that game, so. I think this is the opportunity to go. We know how Burnley are going to play. We know how they're going to set up. Sean Dyche is a much more tactical manager than people let on. So there is a chance for us. I think there is going to be space between the lines. There might be, you know, a little bit of pace down the wings or through the middle can help us. But as Tom mentioned there, Davis could be massive in this game, because if he does play deep, not only is he good at defending, he's very quick on the turn as well, and he's shown that at Anfield.
He can get us moving the right direction quicker, which I think we need to do that quicker. Yeah.
Definitely, and without Abdoulaye Doucouré in the team, you miss that massively. You know, he's good at that. He's good at getting forward, and he's good at carrying the ball on the counter-attack and getting us out of our own penalty area. So Davis is going to have to do that role, but Alan in there, I love watching Alan play for Everton. I think he's brilliant, so I'd love to see him have another good game against Burnley, because he was fantastic against West Brom, and I don't think he necessarily had a bad game against Chelsea either.
No. So with that in mind, I'm going to wrap it up. Predictions, Tom?
Let's go 2-0 Everton. Calvert-Lewin to get the ball for them.
Oh, nice. Steve?
Yeah, it's become a sort of like a cliche on the channel that I always get asked my prediction second, and I always seem to copy what the first person said. But I was going to say, honestly, James, I did have 2-0 in my head. I can see us going 1-0 up in the first half, defending it for the whole second half, and winning a penalty in the 85th minute. Or
basically the derby again.
I basically recited
the Merseyside derby, mate.
I can see that happening, though. So I'm going to go for 2-0 to Everton, and let's hope that's the score as well.
Excellent. Yeah, I won't complain. I'm going to go for the usual, you know, the typical Everton methods of late, and I'm going to go for a 1-0 win. I think it's going to be, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be a very ugly game, I think. You know, I think any supposed football expert would probably predict it would be an ugly one. But
yeah,
I just like to think that we'll try. I'll go with 2-1. I think, you know, we might have a bit more joy, and I think we might get one as well. So I'm going to say 2-1.
Yeah, that's important not to underestimate Burnley in this game, because I watched them a bit this season, and I think they're a really good team. I don't think they get enough credit.
It shouldn't be that low down at all.
No, definitely not. Very good at winning points. yeah, they're very good at winning points, James. That's where we could come unstuck. But there's the point to remember as well. Burnley haven't got too much to play for, but I don't think that'll really affect them. I think Sean's IG, he wants to win all the games, doesn't he? That's Burnley, really.
Are Burnley away from the relegation yet, are they?
I think they're sitting about 12th or 13th, maybe, something like that.
It's still 15th, I think.
Are they, points-wise, are they fairly away? Because
no, they're still only like, they're about 5 clear.
Yeah, I mean, this is a massive game then for them, isn't it? I mean, it's a free hit for them. Like, especially when you consider Everton's home record this season, they'll be right up for this. Listen, I'm just happy that it's not at 12 o'clock on a Saturday, because you can just see
it's a 5:30, isn't it, on Saturday?
Yeah.
Put that in your diaries, guys. 5:30 p.m. on Saturday, Everton versus Burnley. We're gonna wrap it up here anyway, guys. But for you listeners on the podcast, of course, we are going to wrap this podcast up with the classic quiz. We have got Tom on his debut on the Toffee Blues podcast up against Steve. We're going to be doing the usual match day squad quiz. We're going to have a fixture from the past, and Tom and Steve will go head to head trying to name the members of the squad who played either from the start or off the bench. So we're going to, I'll give Tom the opportunity to pick heads or tails when I toss the coin.
I've got probably the worst memory in Everton history, so you should.
Oh, Tom, listen, mate. I think the last one of these I won was the reverse fixture back in whenever it was, September, October time. And you know what? It's always people's first time on the podcast. They always lose.
Well, listen, a lot of the time you sort of put Everton's history at the back of your head because it's been that bad. So
you're trying to raise it, don't you?
Yeah.
So Tom,
tails never fails. Go on.
Tails never fails, and it hasn't failed. It's a tails, Tom. You get to pick. Do you want to go first or second in this matchday squad quiz?
I'll let Steve go first, go on.
Yeah, you're calling the bluff here by the looks of it.
It's always my tactic if I win, because you get a nice reminder of the team, don't you?
That's it. You let someone else go first, just give you a little, also let you find your feet. But with that in mind, we're going to have Steve going first. Time to cue the intense quiz music. There it is. We are going to...
Very intense.
Yeah, we're going to reveal the fixture in question, and on a show where we have been looking ahead to Everton's next home fixture against Burnley, we're going back to Everton's first home fixture against Burnley of the Premier League era. Everton versus Burnley, 2-0 win, 28th of December 2009. You're up first, Steve. You've got 11 starters and 2 used substitutes to choose from, 13 players. Here we go, Steve.
I think I remember this game. I'm gonna take the easy way. I'm gonna go for Tim Howard.
You took mine.
I'm sorry, Tom. It's just, I can't go out. I always go out on the first or second question. I can't.
Well, you're lucky this time, Steve. You'll be shocked to know Tim Howard played the full game.
You're not
going
out
after one question.
Yeah.
Tom?
2009. I mean, I'll go for this then.
And you've lost it. There's no Sylvain Distan at all.
No, when was
Distan? Always a tough one. He was in the squad that year, but it's always under Moyes, he never really had. If it was Terry always tells me Heitinger never plays with Jagielka, and Jagielka never. It's strange. There's always one missing, and I always lose on a centre back. Tom, honestly, I always do.
Yeah, this was a crazy era for this, where we were constantly sort of swapping between centre back pairs. But this was at the pinnacle of a really bad injury crisis. Actually, Distan wasn't fit. So yeah, that means Steve wins the quiz, but we always go on anyway and we try and finish off the team between us. So Steve, you can go again, mate, with the win already in hand.
Yeah. I think we lost the game, didn't we, James? I think we lost 2-0.
No, we won 2-0.
Oh, we won 2-0. Why do I think we lost? I don't know why I think we lost that one. I'll go for Stephen Pienaar.
Yep, Stephen Pienaar played the full game and he scored one of the goals.
My goal, yeah?
Yep, go ahead.
I'll just Baines.
Yep, Leighton Baines played the full game.
Oh, why am I not going for you? I took a risk. Look at this.
Honestly, Tom, the amount of times I've done that. I remember doing it in my first ever quiz, which was a Leeds one, and guessing centre-backs, it's always like a hard... especially with Moyes, centre-backs are extremely hard to get with Moyes teams for some reason when you don't expect it. So Bainesy's been mentioned. I'll go for... I'm not sure, because you said it's in the middle of an injury crisis. Was Louis Sahar in the team?
Louis Sahar was not in the team.
Fair enough. Probably one of the injuries.
2009. So Baines there. Oh, Cahill?
Yeah, Tim Cahill played 60 minutes of this game.
Okay. I'm going to go for, hopefully, Tony Hibbert.
Yep, Tony Hibbert played the full game.
Tony Hibbert. Strikers in 2009.
This was the season where we had the 85 commemorative kit, wasn't it, with the big V on the front?
Do you know what? Yep. Seeing as though Steve mentioned them, I'm going to stay Heitinger.
Heitinger did play the full game.
See, it's always a hard one. If you, honestly, you'd never, honestly, Tom, you'd never guess Johnny Heitinger, would you? Because it's a risky one. You know he played a lot. You know he played a lot for Everton, but you could never guess him and be 100% sure Heitinger. It's always a weird one.
I always thought I knew it was like a third centre back. I don't know why. It's just always there. But yeah,
I think this as well, James. I think this was a few weeks before we signed like Lucas Neal, and I don't think he would have been in the team because I think he signed in the January. So we haven't actually had a centre back. Apart from Heitinger yet, we haven't got the other one. I'll try and complete the back four. I'll say Phil Jagielka.
No, Phil Jagielka was still nursing his Kucic injury.
Oh, yeah, he was out for the cup final, wasn't he?
I'll give you a little clue, Steve. The centre-back signed on a free transfer in September 2009 and left in the January, and you assumed that he'd signed in the January.
Was it actually?
Yeah.
Oh, and then he left for West Ham, I think, didn't he?
Or something like that, yeah. But he's only here for about 6 months. But this was in the midst of that period, and he played centre half in this game.
Yeah.
You know what? You're talking there, right? I don't even have a clue you're on about. I'm going to go for Seamus Dolcale. Fellaini?
Yep, Fellaini played the full game.
Yeah, seeing as you've given me one there, James, I've now got a bit of Everton trivia. This must be one of the only games in history where Everton started two Australian players in the same team. Lucas Neal.
And Cahill, yeah. It's a very good point, actually. Never even thought about stuff like that.
Strikers in 2009.
But bear in mind, Saha was injured as well.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I don't know whether he left, though. I'll go for it. Kubu.
Yeah, Kubu started it.
I didn't know whether did he leave that the end of that season?
No, the end of the season after, I think.
I think he was there, 11, 12. I think that was his last season.
Was he, yeah?
I don't know.
I knew it was round that time. He let like 10, 11. I knew it was round there.
You've got to remember it's hard guessing strikers because Moyes had a knack of playing Fellaini up front with Cahill just off him, and we have played two midfielders up front. So
I mean, when you're rattling them off and trying to work out formation,
yeah, there was
that's the beauty of the Moyes. You never know what position people are going to play in.
Yeah.
No, so I'm hesitant to guess another striker because I don't think we'd have played two strikers.
You'd be right to guess that.
Yeah, because I don't think Joe, I think Joe was still at the club, but he probably had an injury, didn't he? I think he signed permanently for the year.
He just had the fallout, which led to him getting binned.
Ah, right, okay. Seamus Coleman wasn't there because he, I think he was on loan at Blackpool. Did Billy Aletinov
Coleman was actually on the bench but was unused.
Ah, right, okay. And Billy Aletinov, yes.
Yeah. So, let's see how many we've got left. You've got Dunyakubu, done Fellaini. You got two more starters and one of the used substitutes to get.
Yeah, I'll go for, I think you started on the right wing, Dinyar, Billy Aletinov.
Yeah, Billy Aletinov started and played 81 minutes.
I think I might have me
last one here, and I think it might be the captain, Tom.
I think if Hibbert's there, then I'm assuming maybe he might have been on the bench. Osman
was the final starter, played the full game.
Ah, right. Yeah. Well, my guess would have been Phil Neville.
And Phil Neville was one of the two U substitutes. He came
David
on.
David Moyes played the game with Phil Neville not starting when he was fit. That's unbelievable, that.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Can't imagine Phil Neville coming off the bench. I just can't imagine
actually,
it.
I can, because this, again, injury crisis. He was out injured for a while, and I think he's only just got fit again. So right, Phil Neville came off the bench, replaced Tim Cahill in the 60th minute. One more player to get, and he was a used substitute. Came on for Billy Aletinov, 81st minute, and scored our other goal. It's so rare that the goal scorer, one of the goal scorers, is the last player on the list to be guessed.
Yeah, that is rare, actually, isn't it?
2009. That's a lot of time. We've said Pina. Was Beattie there?
No,
after James
bombed out of him, I just
was trying to rattle through strikers. Wow. I mean, that's hard. That.
Is this the home game or the away game?
Home game.
Yeah, because I think we lost the away game.
We lost the away game, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. That's why I was getting mixed up. I thought it was a Turf Moor. Right. Bring him on. We've got Pina, we've got Billy Aletinov. Was it Jack Rodwell?
It wasn't Jack Rodwell.
No. Was it Gosling? No.
It wasn't Gosling.
Just had a rattle two names, don't they?
Yeah, goal scorers. I'll go for probably a midfielder, Landon Donovan, or was he not here yet?
He didn't come until about a week or two later after this, but it's not a midfielder, it is a centre forward who came off the bench with a shade in the game.
Could it be just an absolute randomer?
Finds that this guy, his name, he features intermittently in Everton teams during this era, and everyone forgets him.
Andy Johnson?
Wasn't Andy Johnson.
I'm trying to think who is it might be. Victor Anachibi?
No, not Victor Anachibi.
Vaughn.
It was James Vaughan.
Tap it.
Obviously, by this point, James Vaughan had become James Vaughan, by this point, had become a bit of a notorious sick note, hadn't he? And I think...
As soon as he said Anachibi, it just banged me.
Yeah. Well, James Vaughan was obviously... Anachibi, again, was still injured after that horrible tackle from Kevin Nolan the year before.
A sock, just like blood everywhere in his sock, was it?
That was Vaughan when he severed an artery in his leg.
Oh, yeah.
And Achibis was the one where Kevin Nolan stamped on him. I think with a stud, it was wretched, honestly. But Vaughan, I think this was like, obviously, he had a good little stint before he started to get injured all the time, but then this was his only goal that season and his last for the club. Like, I think he went on loan a month later and never played for us again. So you'd be forgiven for forgetting that he was in the team at this stage in his career, but he did get the winning goal, and then Pienaar got second and added time. So it was one of them. Just like, I'd like to think our game's going to go maybe at the weekend. It's going to take a while to break them down, but we finally did.
Would be a coincidence, couldn't it? 2-0.
Maybe it's a sign of things to come. I like to think so. I'll take a 2-0 any day, and you guys have predicted it. So fingers crossed. But stay, of course, you won the quiz, and Tom will get to know this tradition very regularly if he comes on the show. The winner of the quiz gets to pick the song, which we put at the end of this podcast. Mm. What's going to see us out at the end of this one? Steve, you got a song to pick, mate.
I'll go for Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
There you go. Nice way to end the show. Thank you guys for tuning in on Toffee Blues. Nice. Thanks to Tom for coming on for the first time. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for showing me up on the quiz. I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Don't you worry, mate. You're in esteem.
Honestly, mate, don't worry.
Honestly, mate, he's losing quiz in that kind of fashion. You're in very esteem company on the show.
I think it's more terrifying that he's brought memories up of the fact that we had Heitinger and Lucas Neal centre halves.
You can blame John for
it's
that.
It's a scary time.
So, but yeah, honestly, it's been great to have you on, and hopefully it definitely won't be the last time. And we'll have you on, and maybe you'll win the quiz next time. Who knows?
Yeah, let's hope so. All for one, but you know, you got to get up, haven't you, from your first professional defeat? So we'll go again.
Back up and go again. But thanks so much for coming on, Tom, and you go on. Like, it's great if we see you again too.
Cheers, lads.
Yeah, well, of course, Steve wins the quiz, and we'll see you out with Creedence Clearwater Revival. And thank you for tuning in on the Toffee Blues. We'll see you next time.